about today's gospel, 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I think that oftentimes when people read this gospel, they often get caught up in the very unusual wage structure that the landowner exacts upon the employees, those who were hired hands at the end of the day. And it should be clear that one of the things that our Lord is not doing is trying to establish a Catholic system of wages. Certainly, we know from our own experience in the workforce that if you paid employees in this manner, you certainly would not have employees for very long, or at least not very good ones. But one of the things that often gets overlooked in the gospel, which I want to spend our time this morning on, is this rebuke that the landowner has for those who he finds in the marketplace still at 5 in the afternoon. And he says, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" What, you know, it's almost as if he's saying, "What are you guys doing?" Or he's almost saying, "What are you not doing?" And there's this idleness that, of course, the traditional maxim is, right, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. We all probably all know that too well, right? When we're not occupied with good things, left to our fallen human nature, in idleness, we can certainly fall into less than virtuous things. So I want to talk about three different areas of where idleness exists in our lives, where we find it, and perhaps some antidotes for them. It's important for us to identify the idle areas where idleness can exist, and it's also important for us to understand how it works, so that if we find ourselves falling into these traps, we can, by God's grace, cooperate with Him to find our way out. The first thing is idleness in prayer. It's very, very common. We say our morning offering kind of haphazardly. We say our night prayers, falling asleep. Our guardian angel finishes most of our rosaries for us. We don't dedicate time to prayer or silence. Some people have a very difficult time even driving in silence. They can't spend time alone at home without the TV or the radio on. There's got to be noise. There's got to be something filling the air. And if we would only make that time, perhaps, an opportunity for God to speak to us, and to be alone with Him, not just merely our thoughts, but with Him, we might find out something very beautiful that He might want to communicate to us. One of the seven deadly sins that you perhaps have come across in your reading is called sloth. Now, sloth is not merely laziness. Sloth is not merely the sin of the couch potato who just doesn't get up. That's not sloth. Sloth is a spiritual illness, and it's a spiritual illness resulting from not praying. Sloth is really what is repugnance or sort of a rejection of anything of divine inspiration. And it comes from not being in communication with God, not listening to Him, not coming before Him with our various needs and desires and intentions. But it's also, at times, it's an unwillingness to listen to what He's trying to tell us. So in a way, we become just very, very attuned to anything in the seen world, and anything in the unseen world becomes very distant. We can't even, our radios are not properly tuned in to perceiving or understanding what God wants to tell us. So it's this unwillingness to be moved by grace, even when it is very obvious that God is trying to do that in our lives. And it eventually, sadly, leads to a loss of faith. Faith is not lost quite as easily as losing your cell phone or losing your keys. But rather, the loss of faith is a gradual, gradual event. It happens little by little, chipping away. And so what is necessary in order to rekindle faith, to avoid sloth, again, this repugnance for divine inspiration, is prayer. And really committing every day to time for prayer. Even if one could commit to 10 minutes a day of solid, uninterrupted mental prayer, that would be a huge step forward for most people. The second type of idleness that we find is intellectual idleness. It's a lack of thoughtfulness. And really, you know, being a thoughtful Catholic in particular requires effort and rigor. And so many times when I look at the culture wars that are going on out there and where the church stands, usually in the minority, almost always in the minority, I find that what is happening oftentimes is that many people fall into a life filled with slogans that are really meaningless, have no substance, and are completely thoughtless, lazy, idle. For example, the term pro-choice is so deceiving and so intellectually lacking integrity, or that marriage can exist other than between a man or a woman. Love is love, they say. Or my favorite, perform random acts of kindness and senseless acts of beauty. Or it's all good. It's not all good. There's a lot of really bad things out there. And whatever it is, isn't all good. And without intellectual rigor, without a thoughtfulness, we fall into thoughtlessness, an idleness of intellect, an inability to actually really engage. What does it actually say? What is actually going on? What are the undercurrents behind such an attitude or a particular disposition? And if you really, you know, right now we're in the middle of our RCIA program for our people who are becoming Catholic, and most of these adult converts, I mean, they really have to sit down and they really have to think this out, what they're doing, what they're saying amen to, what they're going to be confirmed in, what intellectual assent of faith they're going to give when they're confirmed in the Catholic Church. I mean, they really have to sort of grasp this. And they often find this is not very simple. A lot of the issues that we grapple with are not easy. But so often the solutions are so thoughtless, without really giving any real logical thought to the logical conclusions of what could happen if we allow certain things into our society. And so they've happened. The last area of idleness I'd like to just mention this morning is an idleness in regards to a lack of zeal for apostolate or working for Christ. And I don't just mean volunteering and doing good works, but something perhaps even more profound and much more simple, just daily witness in school or in the workplace to the gospel. I remember, I don't know how many times, you know, if I'm with fellow Catholics and we're about to eat, and I ask everyone at the table if they wouldn't mind if we say grace, right? And you sort of see this embarrassment to make the sign of the cross in public. God forbid anyone should know I'm a Christian or a Catholic, right? So there's this, you know, this sign of the cross that's sort of like sort of scratching the forehead and a little bit of the chest. You know, you think like the person's just twitching. Okay, or this lack of desire to discuss anything related to the gospel, to bring it up, I mean, to go there, or to defend the Catholic faith to those who are so quick to attack it, whether it's any of our doctrines, whether it's the priesthood, whether it's celibacy, whatever the case may be. Our faith requires effort. It requires stamina, and it requires rigor. This is not a faith for the weak of mind, per se. One can have simple faith. One can have a very straightforward faith that perhaps doesn't question, which is fine. But if you really think about it, the faith is replete with so much that we have to think about and consider if we're really going to embrace it in its totality. We wouldn't have such a sophisticated intellectual system for 2,000 years if it weren't that complex to begin with. Yet it is beautiful to know that even the person with little education can grasp it quite simply. We are obligated, according to this parable today, to be workers in the vineyard. The landowner does not like idleness. In fact, he comes out at 5 o'clock and rebukes those who are not giving effort, who are not working, who are not making the effort in order to reap a reward. We cannot be harvesters of heaven if we're not workers in the vineyard. So unless we're able to break out of the idleness, whether it's in prayer, intellectual idleness, or works for Christ through witness to the church, it will be very difficult for us to be members of this household of faith and to persevere in it. So let us pray today for one another that we commit ourselves to rigor, not idleness, to prayer, to a more thoughtful understanding of our faith, and to works for the kingdom, which are signs that the harvest is near, the harvest is rich. The great landowner who calls us to these works calls us each day to make small strides, albeit steady ones, to making the kingdom of heaven a reality here on earth. O Mary, conceived without sin,